Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Having the scrimmage and how packed it was, man, and how excited they was to see us out there, man. Now, you know, we scrapping, you know, one game at a time to keep getting better. We go home opener. We're going to try to do what we got to do to get a win.
That's Bills running back Frank Gore. I was speaking with him in the locker room yesterday. That's the sound you heard from that conversation I had, and he loves being in Buffalo. He really has embraced this team, and he loves this coaching staff. I think the Bills have a good coaching staff. I do. I think they're smart. They're prepared. They put their guys in position. They make good adjustments. Yep, Sean McDermott's still, by nature, a more conservative, defensive-minded coach. I think that's right, but I also think he's given latitude to Brian Daboll so far through two games to do what he needs to do on offense, and that can't be discounted. You evolve. And your players change, and your team changes, how you're made up changes, all of that. And I like where this team is right now with their coaching staff and what they've done through 3 years to get to this point. Hasn't been easy a lot of times. Last year was certainly a grind on offense. And I think the one thing missing still from this offense, and maybe it will be Devin Singletary eventually, but especially at the wide receiver spot, you know, they don't have the elite guy, right? They don't have an Antonio Brown. They don't have a Julio Jones. But listen, man, John Brown, after 2 weeks, is 10th in the NFL in receiving yards. 10th. He's good. He's a good football player. He's not just a vertical threat. Hashtag vertical threat. That's not all he is. They're finding ways to use their guys, and they have better players that I think a lot of people give them credit for. But people are finding out now because they're 2-0, and they're becoming a story. There's going to be – Wednesday is the day where there's the most media down at the facility. It used to be called Media Day. It's not anymore. I mean, maybe some people still call it that. My wife always does. She always says, how was Media Day today? And I'm like, you know, they really don't call it Media Day anymore. It used to be called that because that was the day that all the media came by. You got to talk to the other team's coach and a player from the other team. We still do that. Although player is optional, the other coach does do a conference call with you. But there's a lot of media every Wednesday, national media, that's when they basically show up, if they're going to do a story. There will be national media here this week again. There was last week. Kim Jones was in town. But there will be. And if this team is to win and go 3-0 and has the Patriots, then it's going to be really lit. I debated saying that word. But I had to say it because everybody tweets it at me and I've heard other people on the radio say it. As the kids say, it's going to be lit. It's not even kids anymore. I think lit is kind of being used by everybody now. Isn't lit kind of like a normal word now? It's not just the kids. It's what it'll be. All right. We got a lot to get to here in the next hour. Out of here at noon. And then you got John Murphy, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live. You got Chopin the Bulldog at 3. They'll hear from Micah Hyde. They'll talk with him. At 4 p.m., we'll hear from Sean McDermott at the facility. You'll have that sound on WGR and on our website at WGR550.com. And tonight, the Sabres open the preseason. How about that? Sabres, Penguins at Penn State's Ice Arena. At 6:45 is when the pregame show will actually start, but the puck drops at 7, so a short pregame show. And that's here on WGR. We will move the Monday Night Football game between the Browns and the Jets over to ESPN 1520. Let's get back to it. Let's pound through these phone calls. Patrick in L.A., what's going on? Good morning to you out in the West Coast.
Thank you so much, Sal. Hey, I just wanted to say, one, the McDermott and Bean, it's just so much different than we've had in the past, like almost, you know, 20 years in terms of like creating an environment. And let's look at the names who are producing. It's like, yeah, they cut Shady. It's like Singletary, Gore producing. They're handling it. And look at the wide receiver core. It's not that, you know, the people that were playing last year aren't able, they're just not able to play. Well, besides that sweet jet sweep, but like, let's look at it. It's like John Brown, Cole Beasley performing, you know? So I'm really pleased with things. And I feel like losing, you know, we lost two all-pro linemen last year, two Pro Bowlers, and I feel like that led to Ed Oliver. So it turned out being like, you know, a positive in the end. I think Ed Oliver is going to be a dangerous, dangerous man for about 10 to 12 years. So thank you so much, Sal, and I always appreciate all your in-depth reporting.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate you listening all the way out there on the West Coast. Let's go to John down south in Florida. I love the fact that we get so many calls from all across the country. What's going on, John?
Okay, a couple things, Sal. We miss Andre Roberts in the punt return game. And I know he's hurt. What's his status for the upcoming game? Do we know?
We don't know that. We'll get that as the week goes on. But, you know, he's missed a couple of weeks now with this quad injury. So, you know, you never know with those kinds of things. I couldn't tell you, John. We're going to have to wait to hear from Sean McDermott and how the week progresses with him, obviously.
All right. Special teams return coverage is lacking.
It was poor yesterday. Absolutely. They gave up a 60-yard return. Should not happen. And I noted that on my column, but you're right about that. Good observation.
The Morse holding and the Dawson Knox personal foul. What's your evaluation of those two penalties?
The Morse holding, I don't remember. Oh, I didn't see a hold. That was on the Josh Allen draw, right?
Right.
Yeah, that was like, I have no idea what they called there. The only thing I could tell was maybe his right arm was holding, and I couldn't see it from the back camera angle that I saw last night when I watched it back.
All right. What about Dawson Knox? Which personal foul? How is that a personal foul? Come on.
Which one did he have?
Is that the crackback block that?
Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the new rule. John, I'm glad you brought this up. Here is the new rule in the NFL, and I do not like this rule. The rule is you cannot block someone by going back towards your offense, essentially. So if your back is turned to the defense, even if a guy is coming to tackle your guy, if he's chasing from behind, you can't block him as you go towards your own goal line. And I think the rule sucks.
That's horrendous. What are they thinking? Come on.
Is that what happened on that? I think that's what happened, right?
I don't know. I'm watching it going, wait a minute, that was a clean block.
Right. It's a clean block. You're right. But the rule is, you can't block someone going basically the opposite direction of which way your offense is going, even if that player is literally about to tackle your guy.
One other thing, and that is I forget who it was, Poyer or Hyde hit their wide receiver helmet to helmet. I know he probably didn't mean to do it, but there was no foul. There's no.
I thought I saw a shoulder to helmet, but we'll see. Is that the one over the middle where they had to take him out of the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go back and look at that. Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I did not go back and look at that. It could have been, if you say so. I thought it was shoulder to helmet when I watched it and saw the initial replay on the screen at the stadium. But, you know, we'll see.
The thought there with the crackback, quote-unquote crackback block on Dawson Knox was, I didn't think that should have been a penalty. It looked like he hit him more on the shoulder. It was shoulder to shoulder. But
wait a minute. Unless I'm wrong, did they call a penalty because he peeled back and was going towards his own goal line? Because that's the rule now. You can't do that.
It was one of those things where it didn't even look like he was, like, it wasn't intentionally, like, to his back, and it wasn't even on his back. It was more shoulder to shoulder with the block, but I don't think it was necessarily one that should have been called, but
that's what I mean. Like, I don't know if they called the block as being illegal. I think I think they may have called the fact that where he was positioned on the block.
Hold on, let me see.
So we'll get it. I got to look. I don't know exactly there.
Let me pull it up on the ESPN.
In the meantime, Donnie is down in Venice, Florida, where my mother-in-law happens to live. So if you see her, say hi.
Yes, sir. Sal, great show as always.
Thank you.
Great for Buffalo's win. Next time you come down to visit your mother-in-law, definitely look us up and love to take you out for a beer. But
Hey, how's John Peacock and those Venice Indians performing?
Oh, my God. Well, there was some switch in some, because my kid plays for Northport.
Oh, okay.
Some switch in the leagues.
All right.
And so now they're playing, I believe they played IMG and just got destroyed.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen against IMG. I don't even know why they're allowed to play in FHSA. That's crazy, right? I mean, they're such good football, but I know there's some incredible programs down there. But Donnie, go ahead, buddy. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Quick question for you, and just, to take my side of it, I only get to see it two-dimensionally. What do you see in the sidelines from what we see through CBS's lens is that Shaq Lawson is a much better defensive end than Trent Murphy. That's just from what I'm seeing, you know, just on the regular CBS telecast. And the only other thing I wanted to say was I'm completely okay with the Bills taking their foot off the gas because, you know, Bill Belichick and the rest of the NFL are looking at that playbook that the Bills are putting out there. And the less that's on tape, the better before that Patriots game. But, you know, great to hear from you. And when you're down here, give me a ring and I'll grab you a beer.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening. Let me touch on your defensive end point. First of all, let's look at the snap count because I think you kind of brought up that he should play more. Shaq was on the field for 29 snaps. That's 41%. Trent Murphy for 44 snaps. That's 63%. I do not agree that Shaq is any better player, and I'm not saying you're saying that. You're saying what you're seeing on television. Shaq, however, is very consistent as a player in both the run and pass game, whereas I think Trent Murphy offers you more as a consistent pass rusher. And that's why. And they need that. They need more of a pass rush. But Shaq is having a heck of a year. There's no doubt about that. Trent Murphy is also having a heck of a year. They have good defensive ends. They're playing well. All those guys. So I like what they're doing there with that rotation. I could understand why you would want Shaq on the field more for what he offers. There's no doubt. But then you're going to lose a little bit of that pass rush. And although Shaq has looked good rushing the passer, that's not really his forte. Trent Murphy, he can really disrupt you in the passing game opposite Jerry Hughes. And obviously, Daryl Johnson was starting to play more. He played more yesterday. Daryl Johnson played 26 snaps, which is 37% on defense. You know what strikes me, though, about Shaq Lawson? Let me say this. Shaq Lawson is a great case study, if you will, antidote, example, however you want to phrase it, of the difference between a Rex Ryan coach team and a Sean McDermott coach team. That guy right there is the poster child for how things can be different. He has absolutely bought into how to be a professional. He has understood what it takes, what his role is, how to go about his business, and he's incrementally improved his game under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier. He was viewed by a lot of people as a bust after his rookie year. And if not a bust, a guy that was certainly disappointing, including myself. I'll say the disappointing part. He has not been disappointing since then. Has he lived up to necessarily the first round status of where he was drafted? I would say no, but I think he's a good football player. He's helped this defense and he's an integral part of what they do. But that was not the case and was not trending to be the case even maybe after 2017, his second year. But what you've seen from 2017 to 2018 last year, and then now, Shaq Lawson has gotten better. He has improved under this coaching staff. He has learned how to treat his body, meaning like preparing for a game and for a season. And, you know, guys, they come into this league, they aren't necessarily up the conditioning and things like that. And I think you can point to Rex Ryan coaching and, he's a good player, just throw him out there, he's going to be good. Versus Sean McDermott and the way the organization runs now and every little detail that goes into making you better. Physically, mentally, prepared, all that kind of stuff. Shaq is a great example and a great case study because there's only a few of them left anyway, right? Shaq's really the only one. Shaq's the only one that regime drafted that is still on this team. The only one. Because Lorenzo was not drafted by them, even though he was brought here by them. And Jerry Hughes was not drafted by them, even though he was brought here by, well, even before that. That's it. Shaq's it. So he's the only example we can give. It's a good example. I like the way he's played. Let's go to Joel in New Hampshire. Hi, Joel. You're on WGR. What's up, man?
Hey, Sal. How's it going? A couple things, man. One, the metamorphosis of this offensive line in their pulling capabilities is outstanding. I mean, them guys are getting out there crushing people. I don't know. Was it the coach that we let go and we brought in a new guy? Because these guys are studs, and I'm loving
it. I do think there's a difference in attitude between a Juan Castillo-coached offensive line and a Bobby Johnson-coached offensive line. I think that's apparent to anybody just by watching them. That is not a shot at Juan Castillo. He's just not the same kind of demeanor and coach as Bobby Johnson, and they wanted guys who fit the Bobby Johnson type of mold, who can be coached like that, who can get out there and get after it, and he has done a great job with them.
Yeah, I mean, where did he come from? I'm trying to do a little research on this.
He was with the Indianapolis Colts last year as their assistant offensive line coach. And Joel, I'll tell you, the Indianapolis Colts, they did a nice job last year with their offensive line. They did a nice job of, you know, bringing a group along that was kind of not viewed as being very good and then made a big improvement. And now really that's kind of what's happening here with the Bills.
It's impressive, man. Hey, also, Sal, is there anybody else we can have return punts? Every time I see Hyde back there, I'm like, it's like Josh when he scrambles.
Why? Micah Hyde catches everything back there.
I know, I understand that, but we can ill afford,
I don't know I mean, is he going to break a huge return for a touchdown? Probably not. I mean, he does have a couple in his career, by the way. But he's sure-handed. He catches everything.
Yeah, I agree. But I was just thinking maybe, finding someone else to return them.
But why? I don't understand why. I mean, he's doing fine. If you want a guy that's going to have an ability to break one for a touchdown, put Isaiah McKenzie back there. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But if you want somebody who's not going to make a mistake, who's going to make sure you secure the ball, and especially when you're inside your own 20 or 10 fielding it, Micah Hyde is your guy.
But I'm more concerned with the risk of injury. Is my point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I don't know what to do on that. I mean, these guys, they gotta play football. That's part of the game, and he's been doing it a long time, but I don't think you can sway that from having him do his job. I mean, that's part of the game. That's what you do. Every play brings with it injury. It's not like a kick return, it's a little bit different. There's more room. You have an ability to call a fair catch, you can survey the situation. I'm not worried about that. I mean, if it happens, it happens. It happens anyway sometimes. Bobby Johnson, by the way, before the Colts last year, was with the Oakland Raiders, 2015, 16, and 17. Before that, he was with the Detroit Lions, and with those teams, he was the tight ends coach. He was also a tight ends coach with the Jags, and did you know Bobby Johnson was in Buffalo before that? He was on the coaching staff with Chan Gailey, 2010, 2011, assistant offensive line coach. So had a caller ask, where he came from. That's where he came from. All right. Let's get to our sit up and stand down portion of the program. Can we get a little NFL Films music? I see you already pushing buttons, Brayton. Thank you. I don't even have to ask you for it. Brayton's going to push a little button there, and it's going to give us some feel-good NFL music. Love it. All right, this is the portion of the program where I say, hey, we need to start sitting up on someone or something in the league. And then we need to start standing down on someone or something in the league. And today's sit up, stand down is actually me kind of telling you where I've been wrong on one thing and I've been right on one thing so far through 2 weeks. That can change. I was not a big believer in the Dallas Cowboys, but I did say that they'd win enough games, look good enough, be right there in the playoff mix, but couldn't be carried by, Dak Prescott and that passing game. And Ezekiel Elliott, as great as he is, you don't necessarily win with running backs in this league anymore. But I got to say, after 2 weeks, I think we need to sit up on the Dallas Cowboys, and specifically Dak Prescott, at least what he's doing so far. Dak Prescott, through 2 weeks so far, I'm going to give you some numbers here. He is first in completion percentage. And get this, 82.3%. The guy was like 28 of 30, 26 of 30 yesterday, I think he was. He has an 82% completion percentage. He's over the third most yards in the league at 674. He has the highest average gain at 10.87 per pass, per attempt. And he has 7 touchdown passes tied for the most in the league. He is on fire right now, and the Dallas Cowboys are 2-0. And the Bills play the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And I would say sit up on the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott. At least right now, anything can change. But it's not going to change this week because they're hosting the Miami Dolphins in week number 3. Time for us to stand down on a team that I was right about so far. I said I don't believe in the Jacksonville Jaguars like a lot of you do. As soon as Andrew Luck retired, so many people said, Jags, that's the Jags division. They have so much talent. They got some nice players. They don't have a great roster. And we all know Doug Marrone is kind of the definition of mediocrity as a head coach. Knows his football, pretty smart, rubs people the wrong way, and he did yesterday. I don't know if you saw it, but Doug Marrone and Jalen Ramsey got into it on the sidelines yesterday during their game against the, who they play? Jacksonville Jaguars. The Houston Texans, thank you. 13-12 they lost. Now I know that they have Minshew now playing quarterback. They don't have Nick Foles out there. And he's everybody's new darling and, you know, what he's doing. 23 of 33, 213, a touchdown. But they just overall don't have nearly the, I think, the roster that people seem to claim they have. They have some nice talent, some good defensive players. Outside of that, I'm going to stand down. I want you to stand down. I've already stood down on them. I was standing down on them already. I want you to stand down on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're 0-2. And now they play Thursday night in a big game against the Tennessee Titans. That game's in Jacksonville. We'll take a timeout. Got to get to my buddy before we head out of here. But we still got a half hour and I still got more of your phone calls on the way. If you call, though. I got open phone lines right now. There's literally no one on. Get in right now during the break. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. It's the Extra Point Show today on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sal Capaccio here, back on the Extra Point Show. Let me tell you about my friends at Northland Workforce Training Center, because football players, as you know, don't like to spend the season on the bench, while you can earn 30 to 50 grand a year when you spend the season training for advanced manufacturing and energy positions behind the bench at Northland Workforce Training Center. They're officially open now at their state-of-the-art facility at 683 Northland in the city of Buffalo. You got to go in and check out their pre-enrollment sessions. Now, that's any Tuesday at 6 p.m., Wednesday at 10 a.m., or Thursday at 4 p.m. Find out how easy and inexpensive it is to train for a new career. Once you're done learning, get on the field. And getting on the field is simple. Just complete your training, and Northland's going to help place you in a job making 30 to 50 grand a year. Get a starting position when you spend the season behind the workbench training for jobs in advanced manufacturing or energy. There's dollars to be made in those skilled trades. Northland Workforce Training Center. They have the training. All they need is you. Now go to northlandwtc.org. That's northlandwtc.org. Head back to the phone lines now. We got some time to get to your phone calls. John in Sacramento. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. John from San Clemente, actually. But fortunately, I've seen Josh Allen work out here during the off season with Jordan Palmer, so that's pretty cool. Anyways, big Harrison Phillips fan. Very excited when they drafted him last year, and I think I've been very impressed with him thus far. I think he's really figuring it out, and between him, Oliver, Starr, I think there's no letdown when they substitute. It makes him totally strong in the middle. Also, I think Shaq Lawson has upped his game, and I'm wondering, what do you think we're going to do after this season with his contract?
Yeah, and I'm not sure about that. We touched on Shaq a little bit earlier, but the contract part of it I really haven't thought about because, you know, it's down the road and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. You got to see. How do you get through the season? Is there a guy that gets injured? You need Shaq maybe. You think that you got to bring him back. Well, what kind of contract is he asking for? What kind of money and market will he command? So there's a lot of different options there. If they really wanted to, they could franchise tag him. That would be a lot. They could still get an extension done with him. So we'll see. It's just too far down the road for me to really think about because a lot can change between now and then. Let's go to Jack in Franklinville. Hi, Jack. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show. Jack, you're on the air, bud.
Yes. I wanted to talk to you about that Cody Ford incident.
Okay.
How that was not offset in penalty.
I'm sorry. It was what?
We got called for one where we were standing over the offensive player and over a defender and Cody Ford.
I don't know what's going on. Do you have something else talking in the background? It's hard to hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, sorry about that. I know what he wanted to talk about, but I couldn't. There was something else going on in the background there. So Cody Ford got flagged for the penalty that he hit a player on the Giants after the Giants player hit Josh Allen. And fine, I'm totally cool with protecting your quarterback. John Feliciano came in as well. I'm not at all upset about that. I do, however, think that Cody Ford needs to maybe understand the situation a little bit more and choose maybe not that time to get revenge, if you will. Because it did move them back 15 yards. They were punting anyway. I understand that. And if that winds up, you know, really hurting them, we might have a different feel about that today. It's easy to say, what's the big deal today? He was protecting his quarterback. Well, if things change and they score on the next drive because of the 15 yards mattered, then you might say there's a big deal. Eric Wood said it on the broadcast. There are other ways in an NFL football game to get back at a guy instead of doing it that way. I'm totally okay, though, with trying to protect your quarterback. There's got to be a fine line, though, in how you want to do it and at what time you want to, you know, go after somebody, take that shot or whatever.
I think the main point he was trying to say, though, is that the Giants should have been flagged as well.
Yep.
Because last week,
I got
Feliciano got flagged for standing over a player after making a block or whatever.
You're right.
Ogletree, after he sacked Josh Allen, stood up and stood right over Allen before Feliciano came in and threw him off of him. And then Ford added to the altercation.
And that was even after Ogletree maybe did it late, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was – and look – we would have loved to have seen a penalty there, and what bothers me is Josh Allen doesn't get the latitude there to get that call that maybe some other quarterbacks get. If that's Drew Brees, you think that's not a penalty? It probably is. If that's Tom Brady, it's certainly a penalty. We know that, right? But, okay, thank you. If that's what he meant by that, probably should have been. I agree with that. Steve in Vegas. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, Steve calling from Las Vegas. A couple mm-hmm. observations. First of all, I'd love listening to you. I think you do great work. I wanted to point out getting excited about watching Josh Allen's progression and how yesterday it seemed to come out of his shell a little bit, throwing on the run. You know, he was remarkable in that aspect of his game. And even though the running game, you know, we had like 35 carries, 150 yards. I love what Dable's doing with the running game this week as compared to last week with Allen throwing right out of right from jump street. Throwing as much as he did last week, it was great to see the running game. I'm just concerned, you know, trading or letting LeSean McCoy go to start Frank Gore, and we don't see enough of T.J. Yeldon. I was wondering about that, and I would love to see, Singletary play more. I'm just wondering why Gore had such a pivotal role in the running game yesterday, as opposed to putting the rookie in there more from the start, even though the running game was just set.
I think, Steve, it's twofold. I think that they trust Frank Gore a lot, that he knows what he's doing. He's not going to make a mistake. He can be in there if they throw the ball, obviously. He's a good pass protector. He can hold on to the ball. And I think they're just trying to bring Devin Singletary along a little bit. You know, they're not trying to put too much on him right now and, you know, try to keep him fresh and have this. He's a rookie, and, you know, there's a long season, and I think they want to make sure that they treat it right. I don't disagree. I'd love to see him more. I also don't disagree with you. I'd like to see T.J. Yeldon a little bit more. I think he can play, and I think he can have a role in this offense. Right now, he's pretty much just a special teams guy, although he is the backup to either Singletary or Gore. He did come in yesterday after Singletary went out of the game. I'd like to see T.J. Yeldon more. I think he can do more in the passing game. He can create mismatches. But again, every game is different. They game plan for mismatches. They game plan for their personnel against who they're playing. And we may see something totally different next week or the week after when it comes to one of these things. Thank you for the compliment, though, by the way. I appreciate you listening out there. Pat in Cortland. Hi, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Hey, nice job at the game yesterday.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask about the decision in the end of the first half, not to try to go over some points there.
I can hardly hear you, Pat.
Pat, turn off your Bluetooth if you're speaking on Bluetooth.
You got it? You want me to address the first half? I got it. You want me to address the first half, Pat? Is that what you want me to do?
Just the decision.
There you go. I got you. Well, here, because we had a caller on this earlier. You probably missed it, but you're talking about them kneeling, right?
Correct.
Okay, so here's what I would offer you. And I agree with anybody who says, hey, get down there and take a shot. I would love to have seen that. And I think that would have been, to me, the right play, considering that that's what they've practiced, that's what they've preached, two-minute offense. You have a chance here, maybe put the nail in the coffin because you're getting the ball in the second half. Let me offer you why I think they did it that way, though, Pat, if I can, okay? I think it's because of two things. Number one, they had the ball the previous series with a minute and 49, and they did not look good. The first play went for negative 2 yards. Then they went for 4 yards. And then they had a penalty that gave them some room. And yet on a 3rd and 3, they had an incomplete pass and another penalty. And that was the unnecessary roughness on Ford that took them back. So they did not have a good series the series before that. The Giants' pass rush was starting to get to them. And I think when they got the ball back late with 47 seconds left, they just rather said, let's not make a mistake. Things didn't go well the last time we were out here. Let's regroup. We'll come out in the second half. We're getting the ball back. And I think that's the second reason they were getting the ball back.
Hey, that makes sense. Thank you.
Okay, and again, I'm not defending it because I would have gone the other way. I would have liked to have seen that attack. I'm just giving you the alternate explanation of why I think they did it that way. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, it's Hey Buddy and wrapping up your phone calls with a few more here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. We have some NFL breaking news. We have some NFL breaking news coming your way, and I'm going to let Brayton talk about that, and I'm going to get ready here to tell you about Anchor Marine in a second. So, Brayton, go ahead. You can tell everybody exactly what just happened, and we're just learning this now. This is just coming over the wire. Go ahead.
Mike Tomlin released a statement posted on the Pittsburgh Steelers Twitter account that Ben Roethlisberger will need surgery on his elbow and it'll put him out for the rest of the season. So some nightmare scenarios coming true for the Steelers and their fans here. And it's Mason Rudolph time in Pittsburgh for here on out.
Yeah, Mason Rudolph, a guy I think the Bills liked him in the draft process. Not enough to draft him, you know, where they drafted Josh Allen, but there were a lot of rumors that the Bills liked him. And now we're going to get a chance to see Mason Rudolph, but more importantly here for the Pittsburgh Steelers. By the way, a team I picked to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC. I'm not liking that pick very much right now, but whatever. Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger out. What does this mean for his future? I think his career now. That's what you have to start talking about. The Bills play the Steelers week 15 in Pittsburgh. They will not face Ben Roethlisberger. Breaking news just over the wire, I guess. I say the wire, that's like old school. But just coming over now, the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin has released a statement on Ben Roethlisberger. I will read that to you here, as Brayton just told you. Quote, Ben Roethlisberger had an MRI on his right elbow Sunday evening, and it was determined by the Steelers medical team that surgery will be required. We expect the surgery will be scheduled for this week. He will be placed on our reserve injured list and is out for the season. So, yes, technically, could he come back being on injured reserve? Yes, he can come back after 8 weeks. But they've said it right there. He's out for the year. The Bills, December 15th, week 15, play the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh, will not face Ben Roethlisberger. Huge news right there. Keep it on WGR. Obviously, we told you about Drew Brees earlier. We're looking at about a six-week time frame for him as well. That was reported earlier because of the thumb injury. I'm sure John Murphy, Steve Tasker, will talk about this a little bit more coming up on One Bills Live at noon. Sal Capaccio back here in the Extra Point Show. The weather's going to be great next week, but we are winding down the boating season. And I still need you, though, even though that's the case, to get to Anchor Marine on Grand Island. The area's largest boat dealer with the industry's leading brands has unbeatable end-of-season sales going on right now. Hurry in. See Sean Conchafter at Anchor Marine today. Check out their amazing end-of-season deals. You can pick out a fishing or skiing Bayliner via our 5 sport boats starting at just $250 a month. Pay just $300 a month on Harris Pontoon Boats, the best-selling pontoon boat in Western New York. Plus, Anchor Marine is offering all new boat sales. Along with that, free storage until next summer. That's pretty cool. Make sure you get in there. Lock in the best deal of the year at Anchor Marine and Greater Lakes Easy Dock of Grand Island today. Call 773-7063. That's 773-7063. It's Anchor Marine up on Grand Island. They're great people. They got a great facility. I've seen it. John Holland there is the GM, does a great job. And Sean Conchafter, the sales manager, they will take care of you during your boating needs and the entire process. My hey buddy for the week. Who's my buddy? Here's my buddy. Guy I've always loved. I've always loved this guy. And now he gave me another reason to love him this week. Because he's back and doing his thing, in his element. How about Herm Edwards and what he's doing at Arizona State? Going to Michigan State. Winning that game, crazy ending. Michigan State has a field goal attempt. They make it, but there's too many men on the field because they were a little bit discombobulated. They didn't know they were going to kick the field goal. They had a guy run off late. They made it. They were going to probably go to overtime, but no. Too many men. Try it again. The field goal is no good. And Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils do it. And I loved it watching that. I'm not like a Michigan State hater. I don't care about that. Sorry, John Simon. But I love Herm Edwards. I've always loved Herm Edwards. Not as a great football coach. He was okay in the NFL. I just love him as a human being. I love him as a person. I love what he represents and stands for and how he says it. He's got the famous, don't press send. Don't press send when talking about social media. Well, there you go. Herm Edwards. My hey buddy. Why do we do hey buddy every week? I should have an opening of me going, hey buddy. Hey buddy. We could do that. Because I say hey buddy to everybody. And Herm Edwards is my buddy. He's always been my buddy in a certain way. Reminder here, programming reminder. Buffalo Football Monday. We have John Murphy and Steve Tasker on One Bills Live at noon. Shope and the Bulldog at 3. They'll have Micah Hyde with them at 4. We'll hear from Sean McDermott and the coordinators today from down at One Bills Drive. We'll have that sound for you on WGR550.com. And then tonight, the Sabres open the preseason against the Pittsburgh Penguins. They're at the Pegula Ice Arena at Penn State. But that game is going to air here. And that game, I should say, is going to air here while Monday Night Football airs over on our sister station, ESPN 1520. Tonight, big game in the AFC between two teams who are looking to avoid 0-2 starts. The Jets and their MASH unit, including Sam Darnold and C.J. Mosley, both out. They face the Cleveland Browns. In the same stadium the Bills were just at for the last 2 weeks, including yesterday. They're playing a football game there with a different team. They switched from blue to green. The Jets will host the Browns tonight. The Browns throttled in their opening weekend game against the Tennessee Titans. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., the storyline of Greg Williams and all that's going on. Thanks a lot to Brayton Wilson. Great job today. Thank you for listening. The Bills and the Bengals on Sunday next week. It's going to be great. At New Era Field, we got all the coverage for you all week long here on WGR Sports Radio 550. One more time, we got Sabres tonight right here on WGR, Monday Night Football on ESPN 1520. I'm Sal Capaccio. Thanks for listening. One Bills Live up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.